Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, September 29th. I'm Ray Graff. Always a pleasure to welcome back our friend Ellen Gray. Ellen is the owner and operator of a blog entitled No More Mr. Nice Pie. It's fun. It's funny. It's all about pie. And today, as we head out of summer and into autumn, Ellen is on the spot with seasonably adjusted deep thoughts to share on the topic of pie. And we're also going to talk a little bit about pie and culture today. I'll explain that. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. If you want to talk pie, and who doesn't? Or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. That works. We'll talk pie. We'll taste some pie. We'll say hi to Ellen Gray right after the news. Oh, hello again. It's Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday, and today we welcome back our friend Ellen Gray. Ellen is a recipe developer, award-winning pastry chef, former restaurateur. Ellen Gray bakes at a small batch bakery in New Jersey. She teaches hands-on pie classes in the New York metro area, Philly, and upstate New York. She's a regular contributor to very fancy foodie magazines and such. Her pies have been featured in Philly Magazine, New York Times, The Today Show, and Redfin. So let's talk some pie today. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org if you have a pie question for the expert, Ellen Gray. Once again, the number is 800-348-2551. Ellen Gray, welcome back. How are you?
I'm great, Ray. How are you?
How was the drive?
It was a little rainy.
Yeah.
Exceedingly rainy.
You made it. And the trucks, they don't really care that much. Right. They will just keep the hammer down, as we used to say in the old days. What's new in the pie front?
Well, as promised, I brought you a few treats.
Yeah, you did.
Kick off your weekend after your drive to Binghamton this evening.
Yeah, well, you know what? You sent me a picture, which I didn't see until this morning. You and I have been in contact about this show for weeks now, and I had the script written and everything else, but you had a raspberry rhubarby pie, and the picture is hilarious. Explain that.
So in my youth, Barbie cakes, birthday cakes, were a big deal.
Yeah.
And I always coveted one, but we had homemade cake for birthdays, and I always felt a little left out.
Oh.
Now, the Barbie movie came to town this summer, and that was big doings in pop culture. And so I thought Barbie deserved not necessarily a cake, but she deserved a pie. So I baked a pie, and I was able to find slim pickings on the Barbies, by the way.
Really?
In the stores this summer, just in case you were looking.
So that wasn't a vintage Barbie your day?
Oh, no. But I do have my vintage Barbies, but that's another story.
Yes.
The Barbie I purchased, new Barbie, she acquiesced. She was okay. I wrapped her in plastic wrap from the neck down, and I plunged her into a vessel of ice cream and meringue in a pie plate.
Oh, my God. And so the picture is on the page for this show today.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to WAMC.org and then look for today's Vox Pop, you will see this picture. It is hilarious. How was the pie?
How was the pie? It was great, but she didn't fit in the freezer. You know, so it was ice cream and meringue. She needed to be frozen, so we had to eat it.
Why didn't you freeze her separately?
I couldn't do that. You know, accessories are sold separately. But, you know, Barbie likes to just stay
yeah.
front and center.
You know, I was thinking you mentioned pie in culture, and I thought that was really cool. I just flashed back to the commercials from the 70s, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie,
yes.
and Chevrolet.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about pie that is so American?
Well, it was traditionally an American, you know, bacon apple pie, and it has remained a part of our culture. I think that there's a comfort associated with pie, and so when people are looking for comfort, they tend to turn to those kinds of desserts. Pie, however, in recent years has gotten pretty highfalutin. She's a little less dowdy, a little less, you know, all-American apple pie. She is very festive. She is geometrically decorated. She is made of all kinds of things that you would never really consider putting in pie. such as the peanut butter granola.
We'll talk about that in a minute because you have done splendid work.
Thank you.
But continue.
And so I think pie, you know, it was originally a very comfortable, dare I say, dowdy dessert that it was home bakers who were pie makers.
Yeah.
Now there are professional pie makers. It has really become an art, and in a good way. Because, you know, if you recall in the 80s, pie wasn't really the glamour girl. It was flourless chocolate cakes and ganache cakes and geometrically shaped cakes. But pie, you know, she was a little late to the party, but she arrived. And now pie bakeries are, you know, popping up everywhere. It's a very popular form of food and culture. People talk about pie. People discuss methods and ingredients and pie dough. It's a big deal.
Now, you teach hands-on classes in pie making.
Right.
When did you start doing that?
I think when I was working on a book project with Molly O'Neill.
So it's been a while, though,
so
right?
So it's been probably since 2014.
It's not that long. But I was going to ask you, the people who come to you, have they more knowledge and more grand ideals about what they want to do?
Grand expectations, I think.
Yeah.
In a less positive way, people see photographs and they feel that that's what they want to accomplish. And I think what's really more important is that something tastes delicious, that you it's very rewarding for you to get your hands in dough and craft a pie. It doesn't necessarily have to be the, you know, most beautiful girl at the party.
Okay, fair enough. But, you know, I have talked to many a chef that says, oh, you eat with your eyes.
You do eat with your eyes.
And your pies are always beautiful.
Thank you. I don't know that eating with your eyes, if you were blindfolded and you had a fabulous slice of pie, you would know it.
Yeah, well, listen, you're preaching to the choir because I don't care what pies look like as long as they taste good.
Okay.
By the way, we're joined by Ellen Gray today. If you have a question about pie baking or pies in general, or Barbie for that matter, 800-348-2551 is our number. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. We did the gardening show yesterday, and we have four gardeners on, and they're geniuses at what they do. And Dale Isla Riggs from the Berry Patch in Steventown, New York, said that she and her husband love these squash pies.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Graves from Fadigan's Nursery said the same thing. I've never had one once. You ever make a squash pie?
Yes. And there is canned pumpkin and canned squash available upstate New York called One Pie. Pumpkin or squash, and quite a few people use squash because butternut squash and a variety of squashes that you don't normally associate with Thanksgiving pumpkin pie, those are the squashes that are used.
But they taste about the same, right? If you blindfolded me, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference, right?
You might.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Same basic ingredients?
Mm-hmm.
All right, fair enough. This email came in from Marie, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll hit the phones, 800-348-2551. Marie writes, why do so many pie recipes call for cold butter rather than softened butter?
Softened butter will hit the heat of the oven and melt into a puddle and make for a rather sad pie crust. So you want to keep it cold. You're trying to develop flakes, layers of butter as you're baking that pie. And so you want to start cold. Your hands are, you know, a little bit on the warm side as you're working the dough. And so if you were to have warm hands and warm butter, then you would just have kind of melted dough.
All right, fair enough. By the way, the crust on this, well, we'll talk about the pies now.
Okay.
This sour cherry pie that you made, we talked about it in one of our past shows, is spectacular. And just looking at this crust, it has a gleam to it. It's beautifully done, very flaky. Tell us about this sour cherry pie, which I've never had before. It's beautiful.
Sour cherries have a very short season. And people who love sour cherry, they are fervent in their hunt for sour cherries at markets. You can find them in Michigan area. You can find them along the lakes. And they are bracingly tart. Like, they make your toes curl if they're not sweetened. But there's a freshness to sour cherry pie that's unlike, you know, traditional cherry pie. It's fabulous, and it's very short-lived in accessibility.
This pie does not make my toes curl.
Okay.
You obviously have sweetened it. How much sweetener do you have to use to make this thing not make your toes curl?
Not as much as you would think.
Really?
I think that's the crime, is when you get a commercially made cherry pie, especially a commercially made sour cherry pie, is that they're often oversweetened.
Yeah. Well, this is great. And then you made the bourbon pie.
The bourbon pie.
Maple bourbon walnut pie. Yes,
and medicinal purposes.
And it's making me feel better already.
That's cold and flu season.
Exactly. So it's basically, I would say, sort of a, it feels analogous to a pecan pie.
It's a chess pie.
Chess.
And a chess pie is in the custard pie family. They're usually sweetened with molasses or corn syrup. Sometimes they have a little bit of cornmeal in them. This one has maple syrup as the sweetener, so you can use a little bit less. And it has brown butter, and then it has a hefty pour of bourbon.
What bourbon did you use?
I'm not allowed to say.
No?
No.
No, could I guess? Maker's Mark.
Ding, 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 ding.
Really? Holy mackerel, I am good at this. All right. And then the last pie, which is now my official favorite pie on the face of planet Earth, is
Concord grape pie with peanut butter granola crumble.
That is ridiculously good. Now, this is your own recipe?
This is my own recipe.
Has anybody ever done this before?
Oh, people make Concord grape pie. There are very devout Concord grape pie makers. The town of Naples, New York, just had a Concord grape festival last weekend. And those are pretty hardcore grape pie bakers.
But the peanut butter edition is
that was me.
Ellen Gray, you're a genius. 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday. We talk pies. What could be more fun on a rainy kind of blah day? We'll be back. We'll take some calls. We'll eat some pie. Always nice to make sure that our screener Barb King gets a slice of pie. It's just a wafer thin the slice, just a taste. She had the chest pie and you know, that's the walnuts and the bourbon. And be careful driving home, Barb. 800-348-2551 is our number. It is a Food Friday. Ellen Gray is here. And remember, our fun drive begins 2 weeks from Monday. October 16th is the on-air drive. But the lockbox opens on this coming Monday. Every dollar we raise in that lockbox will shorten the on-air drive. So if you've been thinking about making a pledge, go to WAMC.org, and you'll find all about how you can make a secure pledge. You'll find premiums and the whole nine yards. Otherwise, you know, we'll be fun driving on the air for a week or so, but that's also fun. Now, back to pies. Let's go to the phones at 800-348-2551. Joan is in Schenectady. Joan, you're on.
Oh, hello, 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 and greetings to you, and I wanted to thank your timing. Ray, you're just going to have to plug your ears for just a second. I want to talk still about my wonderful shepherd's pie dessert style.
Oh, yeah.
And, Ellen, I think you're the missing thing I need.
How can I help?
We've got, like, yeah, this is going to be great. For the topping, I thought I would turn to you. I've got the base of a latke-style potato mix browned separately to form the underpart of a shepherd's pie.
Okay.
Filled with, I've decided to go with pear, chopped up pear, and thanks to Dale Eiler Riggs for the raspberry suggestion.
Okay.
And thanks also to the Arboretum and the Landis Arboretum, whoever made the rhubarb elderberry preserve has definitely contributed to my experiments with the middle part of the pie.
Okay.
And then for the topping, I want to go with the typical shepherd's pie topping, you know, the mashed potatoes, but more along a whipped the creamy potato topping, maybe even meringue, like the middle part of the bourbon chest pie sounded great. No, I'm no kidding. But what can you help me with for the whipped potato topping?
Yeah, I'd love to. Well, it sounds to me that there's an awful lot going on here, and but in a good way. So for a whipped potato topping, and this is a sweet adaptation of a shepherd's pie. Have you thought about maybe sweet potatoes for your topping? And you can treat them much as you would a classic potato, you know, shepherd's pie topping. I think meringue sounds a touch too sweet to me. I think sweet potatoes, if you roast them, you know, they get kind of caramelized in the oven. I would mash them really well or even put them through a ricer. If you want to lighten them up a little bit, you could certainly do so. But they may be fine on their own if they're whipped, maybe a pat of butter, maybe a hit of a spice that you like or maple or brown sugar. Or you said you have an elderberry jam that you could use that as a sweetener. But just a little, just maybe like a teaspoon, and let it go. And I wouldn't really change a thing after that.
I like it. And so no cream, no nothing, right?
I don't know. I think sweet potatoes really speak volumes on their own. I don't know that you need to add a lot of cream. If you want to add a pat of butter, I guess you could. But I think if you get a really deep-fleshed sweet potato, like a garnet yam or a jewel yam, they're this really crimson bright orange. They have great flavor, and I don't know that you need much more.
I love it. Thanks so much.
Hey, Joan, are you hanging up?
Yeah.
No, hang on.
I am right here.
This pie has been in progress for several months. Are we going to be able to see a picture of it when you finally make this thing?
Possibly. Let me just say I've been very much enjoying my experimentations.
Yes, well, I got to say, it's fun following along, and I hope that you get this thing done and we get to see it. Have a great weekend, Joan. Thank you. 800-348-2551 is our number. Janet in Cambridge, New York writes, is it really possible to make a good crust with oil? What's the trick?
You can make a good crust with oil. I think the consistency will bake up a little heavier than, say, an all-butter crust. You could try, there are ways to, when you roll out your crust, you can do some sort of quick and dirty folds where it's not a laminated pastry, but you are folding the dough on top of each other, which will maybe create a little bit of layering for you.
But you don't use oil generally?
I generally don't.
Just butter, straight up?
I like straight up butter. And I have to applaud, you know, that blue can of shortening. I certainly grew up eating plenty of pie made with that, and it makes a really terrific crust. But I love the flavor of butter, and I like working with it. I think it gives you all across the board your best result.
In all your years, and you've been making pie since you were a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's the toughest part? There are several phases to making a pie. What's the most difficult thing to master?
Yeah, I think the toughest part of pie making is having patience, because you have to anticipate that you want this pie probably a good day in advance of eating it. You cannot, you know, wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to have this pie made in 2 hours and then slice into it. Everything along the way takes a step. The crust takes a step. You want to let that chill and relax in the fridge before you roll it out so it doesn't give you any attitude. You oftentimes will want to blind bake your crust, which will give you a nice non-soggy bottom,
right?
And if you're doing a lattice top, like here, you want to roll that out, cut those strips, and chill them. And I also find that once you've assembled the pie before you bake it, you really need to chill it for like a good 15, 20 minutes in a fridge or a freezer so it can pull itself back together and kind of calm down before it hits the oven.
Does that change the baking time?
It changes the baking time, you know, just a bit. But you want that crust to really have an opportunity to hold its shape. You don't want it getting all slumpy on the edges of the pie plate.
Okay, this email from Drew. Oh, my goodness, talking about pies for an hour. So rad. Is it pie season now, or is it always pie season? Quick question that you probably get all the time. Do you ever make pies that are gluten-free and work well?
Hey, Drew, thanks for calling in. It is indeed, every season is pie season, and gluten-free pie has a very wide audience.
It sure does.
And we talk about it all the time, don't we, Ray?
Yeah.
I would say that the best means to an end for gluten-free pie dough making is to practice with different blends. There's gluten-free flour available pre-blended that you can get in a market. You can combine your own ingredients for a gluten-free blend, and you sort of have to try them on for size. You will not get the same texture. I think a really terrific gluten-free pie dough is made with coconut flour.
Okay.
That because now it's going to give you a hint of that flavor in the crust, but there's something very almost buttery about it that I like an awful lot. Gluten-free flour blends tend to have a curious taste that is
now. Hang on. Let's not parse this. A curious taste. Are we? Is that a euphemism?
It's curious in that I'm always thinking, that's not quite butter. That's not quite lard. That's not quite shortening. I wonder what that is.
Yeah.
And so I like to stick with something that has a definitive, distinctive flavor. Almond is another one. That almond flour, almond meal is great in a gluten-free.
It's so expensive.
It's expensive, but you're worth it.
Well, I had to buy it once for a daughter who wanted to
project.
Use it for pie.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Well, I took out a second mortgage and I got it back.
All right. Well, you're doing your part. You're a good dad.
Yeah, well, whatever. Ellen Gray is our guest, 800-348-2551. We've done the obligatory gluten-free question, and frankly, we move on now. And so you work at a small, it says here, small batch bakery in New Jersey.
Yeah.
How many pies you sling out a month?
Oh, I don't know. I will say that this week, we put Concord Grape Pie on the menu, and people were in fisticuffs for this pie.
Really?
Go figure.
Well, no, I think it's the greatest thing I've ever had.
Do you remember that scene in Beauty and the Beast, the movie, where they're, you know, they've got the pitchforks and they're, kill the beast?
Yes.
So it was kind of like that with the grape pie, because people wanted to buy whole grape pies. You know, they wanted a whole one to themselves, not a slice.
Yep.
And what you have to understand in that particular pie, there's a lot of fiddle involved, because you've got to get your grapes, you've got to separate the skin from the pulps, you've got to cook them, you've got to strain them to get all those little nasty seeds out, then you've got to make your filling, then you've got to...
Wow.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to make a grape pie?
It takes a while.
It's so worth it.
Hours. Yeah,
I think
so
you should do
it.
This 24/7.
All right.
Now, this is not a traditional crust a la Ellen Gray. This is a crumble of some kind, right?
Well, you know, you can't have Concord grape without a little peanut butter in the room, correct? This is a peanut butter granola crumble.
Love this.
Yeah, so it's really in two parts. It's pie in two parts. You've got your Concord grape, sort of jelly, but better because you've got that texture from the grapes. And then you've got the second part, which is that peanut butter granola, which you could just sort of eat, you know, by the handful. It's pretty good.
So you enjoy, for a time you didn't work in a bakery, and then you went back to this.
Just a little bit.
It called you.
Yeah. Called me.
You know, is it apple still the most popular one?
Apple is very popular. Poor pear. Pear pie doesn't get its, you know,
I don't know if I've ever had that.
Chance to it's delicious, but they have to be good pears. They have to be ripe pears. But there are some people who are just, apple is their go-to. There's, again, we talked about it earlier. There's something very comfortable about it.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's go back to our phones at 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Ellen Gray is our guest today. It's Pies on Food Friday, and Karen is in Eastern Rensselaer County. Hello, Karen.
Hi there. It's a great day to be talking about pies.
Mm-hmm.
Warm up that oven.
Yep.
But I am gluten-free, and I use a flour, a one-to-one by somebody. We aren't going to advertise his name because you don't want me to, but he has a mill that's red.
Yeah.
And anyway, I follow the traditional pie crust recipe, but before I roll out my crust, I throw my flour with the butter in the freezer for 10, 15 minutes.
Okay.
So it really has firmed up.
Yeah.
And then I put the water in when I take it out and ready to roll my crust.
Okay. Do you let it rest after you've added the water. Do you let the dough rest in the fridge?
Not really.
Okay.
No.
What would that the advantage to that be?
Well, it sort of relaxes. You know, when you roll out pie dough, do you ever notice that sometimes you're rolling it and it kind of expands and then it shrinks back? It gets a little elasticized. And you don't really want that because then when you put that in the oven, it's going to shrink down. So if you add the water and then you wrap up your dough and let it refrigerate for a bit, it will have a chance to hydrate and then it's easier to roll. Mm-hmm.
Karen, you want to follow up?
I've tried just setting it out and then rolling it. I've had trouble with rolling it, mm-hmm. so I kind of gave up rolling it, and I just pat it gently with my fingers into a good enough shape.
It's difficult to maneuver it into the pie plate. Do you roll it on parchment paper, Karen? Because that's an easy way to kind of keep it together.
I do roll it on paper, yes.
Good.
All right.
But, you know, so I've given up on it, been looking at it very good at all. Because it doesn't, and its texture is a little bit different. But I can have pie crust that tastes pretty much like normal pie crust.
Oh, good for you. That's great.
Well, thank you very much for the call.
You're welcome.
Have a great weekend. 800-348-2551. Ellen Gray is our guest. You ever make a gluten-free pie that you really liked?
So I wanted to talk about the fact that Barbie never had a kitchen in her dream house.
Oh, yeah. All right. That's funny. You're very good. Yeah, she never had a kitchen in her dream house.
Yeah, I had that cardboard dream house that you unfolded and had the little bookshelves and had a closet and a stereo. But there wasn't a door into the kitchen. There was not a kitchen. And why was that? Was that because Barbie had such a social life that she didn't have time to cook? Was it that she was a career woman? She was an astronaut. She was a doctor. She was a veterinarian. She was a busy gal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but you never really see her cooking. There is a Barbie playset. I don't know what year it's from. Maybe she had an oven mitt. But she, you know, her outfit was pristine. She wasn't really getting her hands dirty.
Really?
So it's interesting.
Did you have one of those easy bake ovens when you were a kid?
I did not.
No?
Just like the Barbie cake. I neither had the easy bake oven nor the Barbie birthday cake. I baked alongside Jessie, who was my grandmother's housekeeper, and we used the oven. We used the real oven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those easy bake ovens, I recall, you could get a good burn.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I have plenty of oven burns from commercial ovens now, so I don't really feel like I missed out on that part.
You know, we were joking about the Barbie pie, but it's a beautiful pie, and it's on our website, WAMC.org. Did you see the movie?
I did see the movie.
All right, what'd you think?
All right, come on now. Listen, last time I was here, you were a little curmudgeonly about sour cherries.
What?
And you've come around.
What?
I want you to see this movie on the big screen.
I
right?
won't. I will
okay.
not.
Well, it will change your mindset about hot pink and Barbie and being an independent, feisty woman. I think you should see it.
I don't, but I have many feisty women in my house.
Well,
I do not
good.
Need to see a film about them.
Well, no, you need to.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll take your word for it. Ellen Gray is here. We talk about pies and other weird things. Give us a call if you have a question about pie today, specifically about pie. Not good. You can say it out loud. It is on mic. You know, not that we have anything against anyone who is gluten-free.
We don't.
But most bakers have a tough time with it. And they prefer to talk about what they're really good at.
Yeah, it's not my strongest suit. And I think maybe we talked about this a little bit last time also, that if you struggle with trying to create a gluten-free pie crust to your liking, I'm a huge fan of wonderful fruit that's baked as a crisp, and I think you can come up with a good gluten-free, crumbly crisp that will do the trick.
Why don't we reset? We'll take a break.
Sure. 800-348-2551
is the number. Ellen Gray is our guest. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday. Ellen Gray is here, who schlepped all the way through the rain from New Jersey to be here today, and we really appreciate it. She also brought great pie, which I also appreciate. This email from Tig at voxpop@wamc.org. Tig in Chesterfield writes, I remember having a pear pie that included cheese. It was years ago. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how it was made. Can you speak about incorporating cheese in a dessert fruit pie?
Oh, absolutely. So apple pie with a cheddar cheese crust is pretty terrific. And I would say you could do the same thing with pear pie. There was some legislature many years ago about serving apple pie with a slice of cheese on the side. And it had to be a certain weight, certain ounce. And so it was a very typical pairing in New England, in the Northeast area, Vermont, particularly where cheddar cheese is big. And so if you wanted to incorporate cheese in a pie crust, it's delicious because it's very tender, it's very flavorful. You would cut back a little bit on the fat, i.e. the butter or the shortening, and you would add some shredded cheese to that.
But you wouldn't put it in the pie properly.
You could put some in the pie, excuse me,
I think
it's better suited in the crust. Mm. I think it gets a little lost in the pie. And then, of course, you could serve a slice of cheese alongside the pie as well.
Where do you stand on this apple pie or pie, fruit pie with cheese? My house, it's pretty evenly divided.
I love it.
Yeah.
I really do. But I'm also a big ice cream, pie and ice cream person, vanilla ice cream.
How about all three?
I think there's a little conflict of interest if the cheddar and the ice cream, you know, sort of commingling on the plate. I think they're separate entities. Now, you could do the cheddar cheese and the fruit pie, perfectly reasonable to do that for breakfast. I mean, I think that's all the food groups you need right there. And then, you know, lunchtime, if you're having another slice, maybe some ice cream or maybe just, you know, au naturel. And then the ice cream a la mode for dinner.
Now, you're very fit. How many pieces of pie a day will you eat?
It depends how much is available.
Really?
To me. Yeah.
And how do you keep your figure?
I'm a runner, Ray.
Oh, you're a runner. Ah. Well, we'll have to disabuse you of that at some point. The number here is 800-348-2551. If you have a question about pie for Ellen Gray, 800-348-2551. You had one pie here that you brought that was a tail end of summer pie. Mm-hmm. And then we move into autumn pies. Mm-hmm. What do you think of when you think of autumn pies? And don't say pumpkin pie.
I won't.
Good.
I wouldn't dream of
all
that.
Right.
Okay. Autumn pies. The pie that I really look forward to, and it is elusive, and it's a little bit of fiddle work again, is quince pie.
Interesting.
And quince is in the rose family, so that's apple, pear, quince. It's that type of flavor. There's something very fragrant, but in a subtle way. There's something very perfumey about quinces. You have to poach them or cook them before you use them. If you were to eat a slice of quince raw, it's very unpleasant.
Really?
It has a bitterness to it. So you poach it in a syrup, and then you can use it for, you know, any pie application. And they are out of this world. It's a very different flavor. And perhaps next time,
You know,
quince.
I gotta say, first of all, where do they grow?
You can get them for a very short season.
Around here, though, in the northeastern United States?
Yeah, markets will have them. I think specialty markets will have them. But they resemble, they're sort of an entity unto themselves. But you will find that they are rather pricey.
Yeah.
And elusive. Not every market will carry them. But around this time, you can find them. And you can pair them beautifully, no pun intended, with pears.
Yeah.
Or with apples, or the two together. And they're great. You know, you familiar with Peter Quince from A Midsummer Night's Dream?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Just
now,
checking.
Is he indigenous to the region as well?
No, but that's the only person I know with the last name of Quince.
Well, the reason I asked if they were grown around here, mm-hmm. because I've never seen one. I never had one until I did a cheese show a month or two ago.
And they brought quince paste?
Yes.
Membrillo?
And the Grafton Village cheese folks mm-hmm. brought it, and it was so amazing. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of curious about that and where they come from. Uh-oh, looks like on line one we got Rick O. That can only be one Rick O that we know. How you doing, Rick?
Oh, my God, Ray.
How you doing, man?
You guys, you caught me driving around.
How was Italy? Did you get back already?
No, I'm leaving Monday for a month.
Gotcha. Okay, go ahead.
I have a cheese and ice cream fix for you.
Okay.
So one of the things that I did at my restaurants and I do for some private parties mm-hmm. is I get either aged cheddar, a good at least 2-year-old crumbly cheddar, mm-hmm. or crumbly blue like Gorgonzola or Roquefort or a local blue, and I make cheese crumble ice cream.
Interesting.
So you can either take a vanilla ice cream that you like and temper it and fold in the cheese crumbles, or you can make, and you can find it online, the very easy no-churn ice cream recipes. And you put the cheese in like chocolate chips, like chunks of it throughout, but not too much, but just enough.
Yeah.
And you serve that on a piece of warm pie. And as it melts, you get the sweet ice cream. And that really, really works with apple and pear pies the best. Maybe peach, stone fruit, but it's got to be a fruit pie.
Mm.
And you get these little bursts of salty crumbly cheese within your ice cream and your pie, and it's one of those words that starts with an O, and we really like it.
Well, Rick, I got to say something. Ellen Gray is, I don't know if it's a scowl, but it's certainly a look of questioning. Why, you want to follow up here, Ellen? I think you flummoxed her.
No, I think savory additions.
I'll be looking for your post.
Savory additions work with certain ice creams for sure. Blue
yeah.
cheese to me is about as piquant as you can get. You know, that's a really distinctive flavor, and people are
right.
either fans or perhaps not.
So you're not a fan?
I happen to like it, but I like it standing on its alongside maybe. As opposed to
give it a shot sometimes. I did it at the James Beard House, and
I bet it's
kind of a revelation
amazing.
Because you get these little salty bits, and it freezes again, so it takes on the consistency of a chocolate chip. You know, a little bit firmer than it would be out of the fridge,
yeah.
and it's just fun. I just
yeah.
thought I'd throw it up there because
yeah.
I hear the cheese and ice cream conversation, and that was always one of our ways to solve that problem, was to get them all in one bite.
Well,
okay.
man, I'm not sure she's buying it.
I'll be looking at your blog.
All right.
Eventually, you'll try it, and it'll be on your blog, I'm sure.
Fair enough.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Keep it up, okay?
Thanks for calling.
Safe trip, Rick. Thanks for calling. 800-348-2551 is our number. Ellen Gray is here, having a wonderful time, and questioning why she drove all this way just to be here. But there you go. We'll go to Esther in Schenectady. Esther.
Hi, Ray. I was just calling because I was listening to you guys talk about quince.
Yeah.
When I moved into my house in Rotterdam, the woman who lived here before was very into gardening. She actually has a Japanese quince bush
wow.
outside
wow.
in the backyard. And I will say it is very low maintenance and incredibly productive
yeah.
every year.
Oh, you're so lucky.
They can grow and thrive up here.
Wow, that's
But
fabulous.
Now I know what to do with them.
Yeah,
so.
they're amazing, and they're not something that are commonly found in people's backyards, so you're a very lucky person. They're really only in season about, I don't know, a month and a half, sort of mid-late fall, maybe first month of the new
yeah.
year, maybe January, but they're tricky, and they are I've never had the, you know, good fortune to have one in a garden, but they are certainly worth seeking out, Ray.
Okay. Hey, Esther, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Let's go to Callista in Claverick. You're on.
Hi, I'm here. My question is, years ago, my mom and I went to a dinner at Shaker Village, and they served a pie that was sliced lemons.
Ooh.
Meyer
and
lemon.
I don't know what else, but.
Shaker Meyer lemon or Shaker lemon pie has whole slices, thin slices of lemon in the custard. It's out of this world.
That sounds great.
That's
January. Where would I find
January?
Where would I find a recipe?
On the website.
Oh, why don't we give your website?
Okay.
Go ahead. What
no
is that?
No more
okay.
Mr. Nice Pie.
nomoremrnicepie.com.
And there's a Shakermeyer lemon. Actually, I think there's more than one. There's some for hand pies, some to go with biscuits, and some to go with more traditional. You can either take the time to slice them yourself, or you can do a sort of abbreviated version and chop the lemons in the food processor, and you get little pieces. It's very marmalade-y. If you're a marmalade fan, that's what it's like. It's really tasty.
I can't remember. These were sliced very, very thin in the pie that we had.
Yeah.
But, this is great. I'll look for that.
Oh, great.
Thank you very much for the call. Have a great weekend. Did you bring one of those Meyer lemon pies?
I did.
Yes.
I did.
See,
last
I remembered
time.
Something.
Look at you.
Yeah.
All right. Paying attention.
That was one of my favorites until the grape pie.
Okay.
Okay, that's up there. Sharon in Schenectady. Sharon.
Hi. I have a question about, I occasionally used to use the Nabisco chocolate wafers for crust. They no longer make them.
What?
And yes, they stopped making them.
Rats.
They are no more.
I was going to ask you what you substituted.
Okay. So a couple of thoughts. You can certainly, there are many recipes for a dark chocolate wafer cookie that you could indeed take the time to make. And the darker the cocoa, you're going to get that really dark sort of black. It's called black cocoa. If you can find that at your market, that will make a super dark cookie. The thing that I would find the easiest to do is to go and buy a certain sandwich, cream-filled chocolate sandwich cookie, four-letter cookie, starts with O, ends in O. And that would be the one that I would twist apart, and I would scrape out that filling.
Oh, can I buy a vowel? I think I know this.
Yes, you can.
Can I get an E?
You'd want behind the curtain or behind the door. And you could use those particular chocolate cookies. There are other chocolate cookies around. Also, if you look in the sort of gourmet aisle, international aisles, there are other chocolate wafery cookies that are terrific. I love digestive biscuits, which are wheat meal biscuits. They're not chocolate, but they're delicious with anything chocolate. So if you use those as a crust and then had a chocolate filling or a chocolate glaze on top, you'd be a happy person, I think.
Hey, Sharon, just curious,
yes.
What did you put in the pie? Did you make a cream pie with the Nabisco wafers?
Yeah, actually,
is it an icebox
cheesecake?
Oh, it's a cheesecake.
Cheesecake.
It's a cheesecake. My son, it is his favorite thing.
Mm.
So I always make it for his birthday.
Oh, nice.
And now
lucky
his
guy.
Daughter has decided she must have the same thing.
That's wonderful.
So,
excellent.
You know the cheesecake is basically pie, right?
That was going to be my question.
Okay.
Right.
So we're on the same wavelength.
Well, you know, this is a sour. It's a sour cream chocolate cheesecake, and it's fabulous.
Fantastic.
Wow.
All right. Well, Sharon, thanks for the call.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks,
love
Sharon. Good
show.
Luck.
Thank you. 800-348-2551 is our number. So cheesecake is a pie. Why, Ellen Gray?
Why not? It's a crust with a filling. It's out of this world. What was the most popular cheesecake in the 80s, Ray? Come on. Travel back with me.
Sara Lee?
No.
I don't know. You know who you're talking to. I have no idea.
Oreo cheesecake.
Oh, really?
Was huge in the 80s.
Okay.
And that was in a cookie kind of crust. Sour cream cheesecake swirled with that particular cookie, topped with ganache. It was fabulous.
Interestingly, I have very dim recollections of the 80s. This email from Fran in Gallatin. I made quince jam many years ago.
Mm.
When I had a quince plant in my yard, it starts off looking a snotty green. Then it turns into a beautiful purple. My Irish neighbor, who was used to marmalade, loved it.
Oh, lucky neighbor and lucky you.
Yeah. So what are you writing about on your website lately, my friend?
Not quince, but I'll have to revisit quince. I sent you a pie coup today.
I did, and I put it on the website. Okay, and you came up with that as you were driving
up. We weren't driving. We were actually boating our way up, swimming up the thruway. Shout out to my driver here because
He's been silent the whole show.
Well, he's recovering from the drive up.
That How much pie do you eat a day?
A lot.
A lot. He's also fairly svelte, so that's pretty good. Well, that's good. So your website is being updated regularly.
Yeah,
right?
I try and pop something on there every week. I have taken some shortcuts, and I usually post something on social media on Fridays or Saturdays if there's something worthwhile to chat about that's pie worthy. But the blog is going to be 10 years old in December.
That's great. Yes. And blogs are still a thing.
Well,
that's amazing.
I don't know. For people who remember Barbie dream houses, yeah, I guess it's still a thing. Mm-hmm. But there are going to be some, you know, celebratory things, I think, to toast that 10-year anniversary.
Give me an example.
I think I'm going to raffle off some pies for a charity that I'm pretty fond of.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that. That's December.
Well, that's very cool. And it's no more MrNicePie.com. Mm-hmm. Ellen Gray is our guest today, and we only got a couple of minutes left here today. What pies will you have on? Will I see you before Thanksgiving?
Oh,
I don't think so.
That's tragic.
So what pies will you have on your table for Thanksgiving?
Well, I will have a wild card pie for sure. You know, maybe a raspberry rhubarb, maybe. If I can get my hand on some more Concord grapes, I might get those set up and freeze that. But definitely a very traditional pumpkin spiked with cognac. And Drew, maybe the same Drew who called, Drew has a wild nut pie that has all the wildness of all the nuts in a very deep dish springform pan. Kind of like that chess pie.
Isn't it kind of tough to get down all those nuts, you know?
No.
It's a big, thick pile of nuts.
Yeah, but it's you know, suspended by this fabulous filling
that has a shot of
liquor in it. So how bad could that be?
So, driver, what's your favorite pie?
Oh, God. I love them all. It's like, what's your favorite child? I can't remember.
What's your favorite? Well, who's your favorite child? That's another question. 800-348-2551 if you want to sneak in here in the last minute here and talk to Ellen Gray. Ellen Gray's website is No More Mr. Nice Pie. You're baking at you can't say the name of the bakery down there?
Sure. Three Daughters Bakery.
And where is that?
It's in South Orange, New Jersey. And really lovely people, a woman-owned business. And, it's kind of...
How'd you fall in with them?
I was running one day.
Yes.
And they were about to open a new location. And,
really?
Yeah, that's how things happen sometimes.
Well, I'm glad you're staying in the game here.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to know what famous people you made pies for.
There is a lovely guy who is a member of the Roots.
The Roots, the band.
Yeah, the band. Yeah.
Yeah. What do they say about Jimmy Fallon? Is he tough to work with?
I don't know. I've baked some pies for Jimmy Fallon.
Really? So, is he nice?
Seems to be.
I keep reading these articles in the Post about
him. Don't believe those things. But you know what you should read?
What?
Coming up in November. Can I mention a particular magazine?
Heck yeah.
Okay. So my friends at Better Homes and Gardens were kind enough to send my way a Thanksgiving pie project. And that will be out in November. And I developed 8 recipes. They are regional, and we took regional flavors from across the country, and I took some old recipes and tweaked them with a few updates, and it was a lot of fun to work on and really interesting stuff. So that will be out there.
So you're telling me about this with 14 seconds left in the program. Is that to keep me from quizzing you about what the pies are and what the recipes
are? Correct.
You know what, Ellen Gray? Okay, we're done here. Let's roll the Count Basie here, and we're going to finish it up here. It is Food Friday. It's always great to have Ellen Gray here. She's got to drive all the way home in the rain, and then she's going to make a blog post about the surreal train wreck of a program. We'll find out. We'll go to nomoremrnicepie.com, and we'll find out. Support comes from Godfrey Financial Associates, Glenmont, a woman-owned wealth management firm, investment and financial services, delivered by an all-woman team of advisors adhering to fiduciary standards since 1995. GodfreyFinancial.com. Farms to Tables, presenting the Epicurean in Rhinecliff, a neighborhood grocery market featuring local products and coffee, and Wine Racks, designers and manufacturers of custom wine cellars and in-stock and custom wine racks and cooling units for homes and retailers, showroom in Tilson, and online at wineracks.com. A note here from underwriting. Apparently fiduciary is not the way you're supposed to say it. Well, there it is. Thanks to Ellen Gray once again and her driver, who was very quiet the entire time. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Well done, sir. You deserve another piece of pie. So come on in. Barb King screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Thanks again for being with us. Have a lovely, safe, hopefully dry weekend. We'll see you Monday at 2:00.